Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got The Choice Is Yours coming up later this hour at 7:45. We'll be joined by Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports at 8:30. We'll get into the NCAA Supreme Court case with him. And then Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel at 9 o'clock to get into the Vols and their loss against Texas and the vacation of the College World Series in Omaha. Two and out for Tennessee. What does it mean for the future of Tony Vitello? We'll get into that coming up at 9 o'clock with Mike. Joe, how are we doing?
We're doing okay.
Okay, just making sure.
You're talking about my coffee? Yeah, so the coffee maker, the bin was full. So I pulled out the bin, but I failed to realize that it would then knock over all the other stuff. So it smashed all over the floor. But it's mostly put back together. For anybody else in this building who is getting coffee, I think you'll be all right.
Well, it's caused Ryan Porth a great deal of enjoyment through the break. So.
And there we go. No camera. It's
been a great time for the camera.
No camera.
Well, the camera wouldn't have been on me during the break.
Aren't we still on camera on something like the whole time? Or am I wrong about that?
No, you're wrong about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Just like every other thing.
Oh, jeez.
I'm kidding. Man. Kidding.
Mr. Fancy here gets all confident, huh?
But the trash. So the fishes door, that hair, and all of a sudden, shots.
The door out to the hallway is closed, and Robbie and I hear this like loud crash, and we're like, what was that? And I look through the blinds into the kitchen, and there you are picking up the pieces of the coffee maker.
Yeah. Sorry, if I broke it, I'm sorry.
I think it's going to be okay.
It worked, though.
As long as it works.
I open the door to the hallway. I'm like, Joe, how's it going in there? And you're just laughing.
Now Porsche's just laughing and sent him over the edge. Oh, good stuff here on this Wednesday morning.
Never a dull moment.
Not a dull moment on this show, that's for sure. So the NFL offseason, I guess, essentially over. Maybe some moves still to come. On the periphery as we move forward here, but a lot of the main moves have been made. The Titans, very active on the free agency front, on the trade front as well this offseason. And Joe, as you kind of look at this roster, it's been interesting to watch the amount of turnover, the changeover that we've seen with this group in the offseason. Obviously, Adoree Jackson, Kenny Vaccaro, Malcolm Butler, all gone from the secondary. Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, Dennis Kelly, gone on the offensive side of the ball as well. Did not bring back Jadeveon Clowney. I don't think a big surprise there either.
They're going to regret that.
He finally has
a great teammate. Did you see that from
him? That's what I saw. Yeah.
Finally got somebody he can play with.
Yeah, really been just kind of waiting for it, I guess.
Just never had any other great players with him.
It's just Myles Garrett. Every time that guy opens his mouth, I'm like, man. Woo. Talk about a guy that does not get it. That's Jadeveon Clowney. But nevertheless, he is gone. He is not back. Lots of turnover on the defensive side of the ball. Caleb Farley addressed in the first round of the draft. You've gotten younger in that position. I mean, Elijah Molden coming in as well. Danico Autry coming over for the Colts. There's a lot of additions and subtractions that have been made on the defensive side of the ball. It's a little bit better on offense in terms of the continuity. Obviously, Arthur Smith is gone. You filled that role with Todd Downing. And then, of course, Julio Jones coming in. You like that over Corey Davis with Julio Jones and everything that he's accomplished. When you factor in the entire picture, and it's a lot, we've gone through the main moves that were just made by the Titans this offseason. How do you go about trying to formulate a grade for the Titans? What are the expectations for the Titans on that front? When you factor in the different amount of moves that were made and how different this team could look heading into this 2021 NFL season.
Well, the obvious difficult part here is, like, I think we would right now go back to last offseason and after knowing what we know now and give it a very low grade, right?
Yep.
Clowney, Beasley, Isaiah Wilson, et cetera, et cetera. It would be probably a D. I mean, there were some moves that worked out. I mean, in the offseason also included the extensions for Henry and Tannehill, which were huge, but probably still a C- or D. But a year ago today, I would have been pretty high on that offseason.
Yep.
You know, so at this point, I will say that obviously the Julio Jones thing changes my grade. I mean, It just has to. I don't like – my biggest concern, I think, would be just the total changeover and the uncertainty at corner for a team that was so bad. I mean, I get changing stuff there after you were so bad, but you are left with a lot of uncertainty at corner. But I like – look, I mean, I like going out and getting an edge guy. We'll see if that guy works out. I like Autry a lot. I love the Julio Jones thing. Unabashedly love it. So, I mean, at this point, I'd probably give the whole thing, you know, with the draft. I mean, another, you know, Farley is just, it's a risk. It's a gamble. I don't love the gamble there. We'll see if it pays off, but just the fact that he hasn't played much corner at all and hasn't done it since 2019, you're asking a lot of a guy to come in here and do what they're going to need him to do. I guess I'd probably go like C plus to B minus range. Julio, give me the B minus.
I was going to go B. I like a lot of what they've done this offseason. And look, to your point, I mean, Bud Dupree could come in and be an absolute disaster. I don't think that'll happen, but he could be. And then that totally shifts kind of what you feel and the grade that you give for this Titans offseason. But let's just think about this for a second and the different areas that they had to address. We knew going into the offseason you had to address the pass rush. It was awful last year. You finished with 19 sacks. Well, you go out, you spend $16.5 million on Bud Dupree to bring him in. You've addressed the pass rush in that area. I agree with you. I think, honestly, a guy that we've really not talked about enough is Danico Autry. I think he's a really good player, and I think he's going to be very helpful, not only just with the play he brings himself on the line, but for other guys like Jeffrey Simmons on that front for the Titans defensively as well. So I love the addition of Danico Autry. The secondary is where my reservation really comes in because, I mean, outside of Kevin Byard, you got Imani Hooker coming up into a new role. We think he can handle it. We think he'll be fine there, but I still don't believe – that Kenny Vaccaro at his best. I don't think Imani Hooker is that. So what's going to happen on that area? Is Caleb Farley even going to be able to play in week one? Is he going to get to a place where he is a starting cornerback this year in the NFL? I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to find out how he holds up, how his body holds up from an injury perspective there. I didn't really like that pick at the time. We'll see what happens on that front and whether or not that he could come in and prove some of the doubters wrong. But I did not like that pick at the time. I've been impressed by what I've seen and heard from Janoris Jenkins, so I think you feel good about him, at least to start heading into this year. But he's really, at corner, I think the only guy that you just for sure feel good about right now. Like, I have no clue what Christian Fulton's going to look like. He got, you know, he played six games last year, and he was hurt for the majority of the year. So, to me, that my reservation about what's happened this offseason largely rests in the secondary. As much as I talked about Adoree Jackson last year and how between Jackson and Butler, the guy I would cut is Jackson, I still think right now heading into the season, you feel a lot better about your secondary with Butler and Jackson heading in than you do right now with this group. I don't think it's particularly close.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. You know, I like the Molden pick, you know, just on its face. And so far, what we've seen from him, you know, and obviously also just on the edge, look, this great. This could become A plus. This could become F based on what we see on the field.
Sure.
I mean, but so much. You know, the information we're about to get is going to dictate this. But at this moment, you know, the Rashad Weaver thing is also. I mean, that's just it's an embarrassment, and you know, it's bad timing, and you know, there's some bad luck there. But just take it away from the incident he had. You're talking about. Again, just entrusting the entire position basically to Landry, the new guy coming in who paid a lot for, who I think could be very good, and then this, you know, middle round rookie. And then you're back still with, okay, Roberson's next, I guess. I mean, I feel like you could have added another player there, maybe another veteran there, to give you some depth. So, I mean, just the whole – the place where they were weak has changed a ton, which is good. It's just you don't know if it's a change for the better. It's got to be a change for somewhat better, I would
think. I was
about
to say, it can't get worse.
Yeah, I would think it would be a change for the better to some extent. But you need it to change for the better significantly. And, yeah, I think the guy you touched on there, not part of this offseason of moves, but he's on the very short list to me of really important players this year, and that's Christian Fulton. Because I think Jenkins will be fine. I don't know about Farley. I think Molden, you know, I mean, I think there's optimism about him, and there should be. Fulton's got to be quite good this year.
And with that in mind, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. How would you grade the Titans offseason? Would it be an A, a B, a C, or would you go D or worse with this offseason? We'll get to that coming up next. Also, a lot of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 this Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage, featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. Monday's special guest will be Nashville SC coach Gary Smith. Watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Right now I'm talking Tennessee Titans grading their offseason. That is the subject of today's poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. How would you grade the Titans offseason? Would it be an A, a B, a C, or would you go D or worse? Joe Rex Road, 112 votes are in so far early in the voting process. 46% say A, 42% say B, 7% going with C, 5% say D or worse. So a lot of love for sunshine. A's and B's. A lot of sunshine today in the poll.
Well, Raymond on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says solid D for the offseason. Should have taken a wide receiver in the first instead of the biggest risk in the draft. Then we would not have needed to cap hamstring ourselves with an old busted Jones.
Wow.
Raymond's not big on the Julio thing. It's actually refreshing, you know, to see someone who's not, I mean, like Brennan wants away and home Julio jerseys.
Yes.
What about the alternate?
End season tickets.
What about the alternate, the baby blue?
Don't mention that. I hope he's not listening. Want season tickets too. Why not? Because of Julio Jones.
Yeah.
But Raymond, an old busted Jones.
You know, Beauclair threw this out there last week. Did you know that Julio Jones, the seventh oldest wide receiver in the National Football League? Seventh oldest at 32 years old.
I did not know. That's a good stat.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy to think about.
NFL, not for long.
Not for long. Ryan Porth, how would you address this question? What grade would you give the Titans for the offseason moves that they've made?
B.
Okay.
I would give them a B because still don't really know what the defense is. You know, I don't think we can sit here and say they don't have a defense because they changed a lot of it. So I would give them a B, probably up from a C+ after the Julio trade. My biggest concern with the offseason is that their biggest moves all have an injury risk. Caleb Farley, first round pick.
Yep.
Bud Dupree, a lot of money in free agency. Julio, to a lesser extent. So I would give John Robinson a B for this offseason.
Yeah, see, I mean, certainly Dupree and Farley, absolutely. I don't think I'd include Julio in that. I think the age thing is a question.
Sure. I would include him from the standpoint he's 32 years old.
Yeah.
Right, but the hamstring nagged him. He's out there running around. That's not right. Like, it's not like, is Julio going to be ready for camp?
Right.
Don't know.
I feel better about Julio from an injury perspective after he described what he went through last year.
Yeah.
Like when he said, that's on me for trying to force it and come back too soon. I feel better about the games that he missed last year after hearing how he explained it.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I would agree. I mean, I think the thing about his injury is now it's healed. So you're hoping you don't have the hamstring problems again as you move forward. Now, and you know, Mike Vrabel talked about this the other day on the Rich Eisen show too. Like Julio probably, I mean, if recent history is any indication, he's probably going to get to a point this year where he's on the injury report every week and he's not practicing and he is questionable and he goes out there and plays in the game. That's just been what he is. If you've had Julio Jones in fantasy football, you know he's been on the injury report a lot. He's not spent a lot of time practicing. But by and large, he's been out there and has been available and has been able to play. I would not be surprised if, you know, week five, week six of the season, you start to get into a similar account with him this year that we've seen in the past. Like, I think at this point I would probably expect that if I'm the Titans.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
but if he plays and he plays to the level that we've seen him play, who cares? You don't need to practice.
Practice.
And A.J. Brown barely practiced last year. Looked
no,
okay.
Absolutely. Ben Jones, Saffold, a bunch of those guys were, you know, basically like, try to get out there a little bit, limber up, and we'll see you Sunday.
Yeah.
How much do you factor the Bowen and Downing promotions into grading?
That's a great question. Heidi on the text line asked that as well and said, I would say it's 50-50 one of the coordinators is bad, but is it more likely both are bad or that both are good? When you factor that into the offseason and the moves that were made, and this more so on Mike Vrabel's front, how does that affect the way you view this offseason for the Titans?
That might be Heidi's best text.
Yeah.
That's a very
good text. I don't know. The pedicure was pretty good.
That's true.
Yeah. Listen, Heidi, I appreciate the pedicure offer. I really do. That's a good question. I did not factor it in. So as we're going through, I didn't think about it. I separate those things. If you include those things, to me, it brings the grade down. Not that they couldn't both be good, but, yeah, obviously Shane Bowen. I mean, with both of them, you're talking about each has one season kind of, although Bowen maybe not fully. I mean, it's probably not fair to say in your season as D coordinator this happened because he was de facto and he was OLB coach and all that stuff. Downing's had 1 year, went very poorly. So the glimpses of those guys have not been great. The internal hire instinct for Vrabel so far has been pretty good. Obviously, Arthur Smith worked out real well.
He did.
But I would still bring the grade down a little bit. And as for the question of what's more likely, that they're both bad or they're both good, that's a good one. You know, and the thing is, it's still going to, like, okay, if the defense is bad, I mean, you have to put some of that on Shane Bowen.
Sure.
But I think it could also be all the stuff we're talking about here. Caleb Farley was a risk. Bud Dupree didn't work out. It could be personnel, right? If the offense is not really good this year and those guys are out on the field, then it has to be on Downing. Like, you had Beauclair on. I was listening to a segment that I disagreed with Beauclair on this one thing. He said he thought that there was like no pressure on Downing before this. I don't agree with that. I think there was a lot of pressure even before Julio to try to maintain what they had, even though we all understood they lost some pieces. I agree that it's gone up now. It's definitely up there now.
See, it's interesting with the question that Heidi asked because I almost feel like this offense, if they stay healthy, and that's a big thing, we know that, but if they can stay relatively healthy throughout the year, I feel like it's going to be pretty hard to screw this thing up.
I would think so too.
So if you're asking the question, what's more likely, are they both good or are they both bad? My answer would probably be that they're both good, just given how good I think this offense could be. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like I've got a ton of faith in Shane Bowen defensively, but also you've changed up that personnel group so much, and we had somebody on the text line point this out, say there's no way the defense could be worse next year. There's just no way. I wouldn't think so either, and that maybe, you know, the personnel changes that you've made, hopefully you can have some health and some things break right for you along the way. If I had to answer, I would say it's more likely that both coordinators are good than it would be that they're both bad, just based solely on how loaded that offense is. Like, I think if you screw that offense up, if you're Todd Downing, like, how do you not look at that if you're John Robinson and be like, what more could you possibly need on right. The offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, you know, including, like, you know, a potentially really good offensive line. Well, here's the thing, though. It's also like how they get judged as good or bad is going to be so different. Because, if the defense just gets better and is okay, well, Shane Bowen was good. I mean, that to me is like, good job by Shane Bowen. The offense can have big numbers and take advantage of those guys, and then in three games, there's a call he makes that backfires, and yep. Was he good? I mean, I think the bar is so much higher for him to be quote-unquote good that that's also something you have to factor into that question.
what Heidi says, you know, we can have a decent offense and Todd be bad. I don't think decent offense is what you're shooting for here.
Decent means bad.
Decent means bad with this group.
Decent with defense means good.
It needs to be an elite-level offense. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. That's what it needs to be. With that offensive line, with that running back, and the two weapons you have at wide receiver, and look, Josh Reynolds, too. Well, I'll throw him in there. I feel great about him being the number three. If this offense is just decent, to me, that's unacceptable this year if you're the Titans.
Yeah. And, I mean, look. It's a different group, but Arthur Smith still figured a way without Taylor Lewan last year to get pretty good production on a pretty consistent basis with that offense. So you certainly take some stuff away, no doubt. But really, to me, it's a net gain at the other receiver. Clearly, it's a net gain. Tight end is a question. That's different. Sure. Arthur Smith had a better situation there. But also Todd Downing has Darrington Evans now. Should have him. He had his hamstring thing. He lost his season basically. Got him. Lewan back. Got a new right tackle. It's all there to have a great offense.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texting in. If I was giving the Titans a grade right now, it would be A for the offense just because of the firepower, and C for the defense and special teams as a group. Give a total grade of B- so far for the team. Does your grade go down?
That's my grade, too.
They've not solved the place-kicking position yet?
Well, or is that an incomplete?
Is that an incomplete?
I guess it's an incomplete. But I would say that probably it should be factored into a little bit of concern right now. I mean, Tucker McCann, minicamp, he wasn't – when they did the kicking periods – well, there goes a shank. There's a slice, and it's a 46-yarder, no pressure. I mean, it's just a brief little glimpse, and any of those things could be an operational issue, but I don't think he's the guy. Is Hallbell the guy? Maybe. He wasn't available. I'm assuming he was injured. He wasn't available. So it is a concern, and if Gostkowski is not a camp signing, then I would knock it down a little bit.
What about Dan Bailey?
Yeah, he's okay. He's out there.
He's out there.
Yeah. He's been decent. He's, I would feel better with Dan Bailey.
Than Tucker McCann.
To have a veteran come in and at least be in competition, right?
I would think so.
It cannot be McCann and Hallbill.
No. Even if one of those two guys ultimately ends up winning the job, to me, you can't go into training camp without at least somebody that's kicked before in the NFL as a part of your competition.
How many kickers are you going to have on your 90-man for competition, though?
I don't know. Right? I mean, they've already got two.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. It's like, and honestly, maybe if they were to bring in someone like that, then it's just Hallbill against that guy and McCann's out. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
Wasn't it a kind of a two-way battle last year before Gostkowski came in as well? I can't remember who the other guy was besides McCann. I'd have to go back and think.
Yeah, but who the – wait.
Greg Joseph.
Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
That was last year?
I think so.
I thought Greg Joseph was with Cleveland by then.
When was –
now I'm all confused.
Maybe it was –
Trevecchio.
Oh, yeah.
When was he?
Maybe that's what it
was. Was that the year prior? Giorgio Trevecchio or whatever his name was?
Maybe that was last year.
But that wasn't camp. That's the thing is, I mean, they've had such a – I mean, they've just they had such
a – just a revolving door of kickers coming
in. Since Succop got hurt. I forgot about that guy. He was briefly –
Giorgio Trevecchio.
The all-name team.
Now I'm questioning myself. It's crazy. I forgot something that happened. I'm going to have to look this
up. That's never happened
before. You've really thrown me off here today.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including a take coming up from Joe Rexroad that may not be that popular in the league circles. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
So I'd like to promote a couple things on The Athletic.
Oh, good.
Real quick.
Good.
You guys really think I'm a good promoter?
Yeah.
Probably the best in the league.
Yeah, that's what they say. Top three. Yep. Right up there.
Yeah.
Here's another edition of Shameless Plugs with Joe Rexroad.
Oh, he is the best in the league. Our own Joe Rexroad.
that intro will always make me think of Marquise Munson.
Yeah.
You know, he put that together. And yeah. by the way, shout out to Munson.
Yeah.
Engaged.
Congrats.
Engaged in New York City.
Yeah.
That's kind of big time.
Who
man.
Knew he was so romantic?
I know, man. I still haven't gotten the details on that, but that's a strong move. The funny thing about this one is that this is, I mean, I love that anytime we want to play it, but this is for like 100 words I wrote, you know, because this is like the entire NFL staff at The Athletic picked their MVPs for this year.
Well, did you write it or did you not?
Well, I did, but I'm just saying. I mean, usually it's like, yeah, I just wrote 3,800 words about, you know, Vanderbilt basketball's, you know, pick and roll defense. And in this case, it is a short thing on why I think Ryan Tannehill is the MVP.
I can assure
you. Or will be the MVP. We had to pick who we think will be the MVP. Yeah.
I can assure you more people will read this one than the 3,800 words on Vanderbilt basketball's pick and roll defense.
You know, I don't need your college basketball shade today, okay? Such a hater.
True, that pick and roll defense is really good, though.
You comb your hair all nice, and you just become a hater.
He did.
Right.
Yeah,
just
overnight.
Yeah, that was a great 3,800 word piece on
yes,
pick and roll defense.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I went with Tannehill. So we all had to pick, and there's some interesting choices among our staff with different people. I'm probably quarterbacks get the – I mean, like, here's where you know a team sucks. Like, Chris Burke's pick for the Lions is – center Frank Ragnow. Oh, hey, baby. I mean, he may have a cleat stuck in his neck, but he's going to keep playing. You got to be excited that Matt Schneidman.
Yeah, I was interested to see who Schneidman picked for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, does that classify as a hot take at this point? Rodgers is not in camp. He didn't show up to mini camp. He did renew his membership to a country club in Green Bay, which has got Packers fans all fired up. But does that classify as a hot take?
He can't afford to have that membership and let it.
He's watching his cash a little bit.
That's funny. He probably just did that to troll everybody. He has no idea what's going to happen. He just trolled everybody by renewing. That's beautiful.
Right, Ed.
I will say that reading Schneidman's recap, you know, I don't know that it makes you – it's not like he's saying, let me tell you something. A-Rod is back. He's like, he might decide to make another run to Super Bowl. So, hey, but at least he's saying there's a chance.
But you're saying Tannehill is the MVP for the Titans, which I think some people view that as, well, okay, he's the quarterback. Of course he is. But I do think if you took a league-wide poll and asked your fellow writers at The Athletic to pick a member of the Titans to be MVP, I think it would be pretty highly in favor of Derrick Henry.
There'd be
a lot of Derrick Henry. In that answer.
It'd be overwhelmingly Derrick Henry. And I would say that Derrick Henry was the MVP last year or the year before. And that's part of the reasoning, because I think this is going to shift a little bit to where, I mean, Derrick Henry still, you're going to be able to credit him for a lot of the success this year. I mean, if the offense is remotely like we think it will be, it will certainly be easy to say, okay, yeah, this guy, you know, Tannehill did this, and AJ, all these guys did this, but it's still predicated on what Derrick Henry does. But I just think that the workload's going to go down a little bit, the numbers are going to go down a little bit, the offense will balance out a little bit more and trend toward passing a little bit more, and ultimately I just think that Tannehill's going to take advantage of this and be really good and be the guy who hits the open guy and consistently gets that ball out, and I think he's going to have tremendous numbers. And it's the quarterback position. Again, half of these at least are quarterback picks, which is obvious. But I think with this team, at least it's not totally obvious.
Well, I don't think it's totally obvious, but I also think with this team, and I think it's different here locally, but I think nationally, even if what you just said happens and Tannehill has a great year, I still don't think that, you know, nationally he's going to get the love, because they're going to say, well, yeah, of course. He's got Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown. Of course he can put up those numbers. So, like, I look at Tannehill, unless he throws for, like, 6,000 yards this year, there are going to be a lot of people nationally that just say, yeah, it's Ryan Tannehill, but, yeah, look what he's got around him. Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown. And he's not going to get the credit he deserves, even though I agree with you. I think he's going to put up very, very good numbers this year at the quarterback position.
He might need to have some 80-yard TD runs of his own with awesome finger rolls afterward. Yeah. You know, to no, I agree. It's it's going to be the same kind of thing. I do think more people are going to watch the Titans this year, like even in the midst of a, you know, a Sunday noon kick collage of 7-8 games. I bet you a few more eyeballs are on these guys because they're, I think, going to be pretty compelling. So there'll be less excuse for people just because they never watch the Titans and they only see them on like the one Thursday and then the other one national game that they usually get every year. But people still are going to be very reluctant to give him that credit. I think it's set up really well for him to take advantage of what he does. And if he plays at the same level he's played since being here, I think he'll have a strong case for it.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in, I remember when Skip Bayless said he disagreed with Joe, and I've never been more proud of Mr. Rexrode. I'm still surprised Skip read The Athletic. Did Skip Bayless apparently disagree with you?
Oh, I don't know. Is that right?
That's what Ben
he
said.
He disagreed with this?
I don't know if it was this or not.
I mean, we should ask Jared. Jared tapes all of Skip's segments and then like tries to talk like him. He's like, oh, wait, I got to be more like Skip. Okay, come on. Let me get in my Skip voice. That'd be
Skip
awesome. That's not really a Skip voice. What is a Skip voice?
I don't know.
Hey, LeBron, you should retire. I don't know. I don't have a Skip Bayless voice.
He's not a top 250 player in the history of the league.
Well, that's great. Well, if Skip Bayless directly disagreed with this, I feel better about it. I feel much better about my pick now. So thank you.
Yes, you probably should on that front. I would say if I had to pick a Titans MVP this year, I'm probably going Derrick Henry. I think he's going to have a monster year or two. I thought about this last week. It kind of feels like the same conversation we were having about him last year at this time, which was, all right, he just ran for 1,500 yards. He was a monster in the playoffs. There's no way he does that again, right? I mean, there's got to be regression to some level. I feel like we're having a similar conversation about him this year of, all right, he's got 2,000 yards last year. There's no way he can do it again. And to me, quite frankly, I'm just done doubting this guy. Like, until I see otherwise, I think he's going to have a pretty monster year. So I'll go Derrick Henry as the Titans MVP.
So let's say, you know, they have a great year and – like Derrick Henry has like 1,600 yards. Tannehill has, you know, 4,000 plus. All his numbers are top-notch. Efficiency, yards per attempt is around like 8 or whatever. I mean, it's all really good stuff. And then, you know, the receivers, I have a hard time picking either receiver in this thing.
I was going to ask you, is there a chance maybe Julio is the Titans MVP?
I mean, there's a chance for any of that, but I would just think that the ball would be distributed pretty somewhat evenly. I mean, like I wrote in here, the guy they want this to be is like Bud Dupree or Jeffrey Simmons, right? I mean, they want one of those defensive guys to be the MVP because they're so good, and that probably means that you've turned the defense around. But if that's the case, if Derrick Henry has a good year, and for most backs a great year, but Tannehill has elite numbers, and this offense overall is elite, and the team's very good. Who wins MVP?
Probably the quarterback.
It should be, but I still think more people would say Derrick Henry. I think the majority of this league, it just thinks that
perception,
like, Tannehill
right?
is just, you know, just along for the ride. He's a passenger,
which
is dumb.
But I don't know that that's going to change. Just given the weapons he's got around him.
There's a lot of dumb that doesn't seem to change.
There is some of that. It is interesting going through the rest of these MVP candidates on The Athletic and that piece they've come out with, like the Vikings, Eric Kendricks, the MVP.
Sure.
Sounds great.
No love for Cousins.
Some interesting candidates in the NFC North.
Frank
Ragnow.
Well, how about the Texans? A little Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil, baby. Left tackle.
That's some good blocking for this offense scoring 11 points a game.
So you're saying Laremy Tunsil is the face of the franchise in Houston?
Well, apparently. According to you, it's always the left tackle.
It's the left tackle. That's right. Just thought we'd bring that back up. When we come back, it's time for The Choice is Yours. Joe Rexrode in the questions chair today. We'll see whether or not he's got some good ones coming up next. We'll do that on the other side. As always, taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexrode. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here they come.
And it's that time of the week, time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different scenarios both in sports and in life and then yell at each other on how we would respond to those scenarios. We have a treat for this segment here on The Choice is Yours. Ryan Porth has turned the Zoom camera on. You'll be able to watch his reaction all segment long here on the show. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well.
See, it's got to always be on because now it's,
there's a lot of pressure on you,
right? And he's going to be like this the whole time, but then he might like fix his hair a little bit, so that'll be good for the viewers.
Joe Rexrod, you're in the questions chair today on The Choice is Yours. Without further ado, I turn it over to you.
Sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
And for whatever reason, I don't know why, but this edition for me, it's four choices on each one. Okay,
that's
so
fine.
It's four choices. I don't know why. It just got into a groove of four choices. So let's go with this one first.
Okay.
You can use one of these condiments, and this condiment only, for the rest of your life.
Okay.
Ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, hot sauce.
Ooh.
Ketchup.
Why?
There's no hesitation. Yeah.
Because you can put ketchup with fries. You can put ketchup on your burger. You can put ketchup. See, I put ketchup with fish, like cod.
Are you a child?
Yes, I am. I am. I put ketchup on everything.
I actually dipped some fish sticks in ketchup the other day. I felt ashamed.
Put some ketchup in my hair this morning.
There you go.
That explains it.
Okay. I think I'd go. God, the hot sauce is tempting because I love hot sauce. But I think practically I would probably go mustard.
Okay.
I'd go mustard. I love me some mustard. I know mustard's a very polarizing topic.
I'm a big fan.
A lot of people hate it.
Yeah.
Mustard's got some healing powers too, apparently.
Well, mustard will kill your hiccups.
Exactly.
Yeah, big spoonful of mustard if you got hiccups. That's a good point. I didn't consider that.
What kind of mustard? Just regular mustard?
Well, yeah. it works better if you hate mustard. If you hate mustard, you have a chance to kill the hiccups.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm talking Robbie's preference.
My preference would be
honey mustard, but I love regular mustard,
okay,
too.
Okay, all right.
So both of those are choices.
Spicy brown mustard?
Oh, yeah.
There's all kinds of good mustard.
I mean, you ever get those, gourmet mustard packs with different kinds?
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that stuff's great.
You ever eaten the mustard just straight out of the packet? Nothing else?
Yuck.
Yeah, when I'm really hungry.
It's pretty awesome.
So
it helps with dehydration.
I would definitely miss ketchup on hamburgers. That would stink. But you know what? I need to stop eating fries anyway. Mustard, man, not having mustard on brats and all that, oh, that would be tough. And I love mustard.
Yeah.
But I'm going hot sauce. I mean, forget mayo. Like, I put mayo on some stuff, but whatever.
It's a distant fourth.
Yeah. Hot sauce is versatile. And it with most things, like wings. Okay, honestly, I'll put it on my burger. And the thing about hot sauce is if I'm eating it, that means I'm being healthy in that phase, so I'm not going to get heartburn from it. So it actually would force me to be healthy enough to use my only condiment. So there you go.
How hot are you willing to go on the hot sauce? Or you kind of like a nuclear hot guy, or are you just kind of middle of the road,
again,
mild?
It comes down to, if I can handle it, if I'm not going to have searing heartburn, I'll go nuclear.
All right.
You know, but, these days, I'm, medium at best. All right, sports. You get to start an NBA franchise from scratch, and you have to choose among these players in their current form as your first building block.
Okay.
Devin Booker, Giannis, Kevin Durant, or Steph Curry?
Ooh. Well, I'm glad you pointed out in their current form, because that is
an important
point to make. Kevin Durant, I think he would be the easy answer, but he's a little older, and injuries have taken place. Is he going to be your building block? Oh, honestly, I think I'd go Devin Booker.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's awesome.
He's ridiculous.
I think Devin Booker is unbelievable. I know, look, Stephen A. Smith got on TV the other day and said that he thinks Devin Booker is the next Kobe Bryant. I don't know if I'm quite willing to go that far, but Devin Booker is amazing. Given his age, I'd probably go Booker. I'll say this, and I think this would surprise some people too, even given his age. Giannis, to me, is fourth on this list, and a distant fourth at that.
Really?
He can't shoot. He can't shoot. And in today's NBA, you cannot build your team around somebody who can't shoot.
That
all makes sense.
I'm going Steph Curry, because I think Steph Curry still has longevity in this league. Like, I think he's going to be able to be really good for a while.
33.
Yeah.
You can always shoot, though.
You can always shoot. And he's the best at it, in my mind. So, that would... Building a franchise around Steph Curry. You can sell jerseys. You can sell tickets. He's, you know, someone that the franchise can, you know, really make the face of the franchise right away. Those so, are, going to Steph.
That's, those are good points. I it's tough for me because I am really tempted with Booker. And, I mean, I love the Steph, too. I would also have Giannis fourth for the same reason. But I'm going with Durant. Yeah, I guess just thinking short term. I mean, 5 years from now, I'd wish I'd picked Booker, yeah. You know. But I still think Durant's just flat out the best player right now. And the way he's come back from his Achilles, I mean, his game hasn't suffered at all for it. So I would go there. All right, non-sports. You can use – oh, no. No, sorry. I just was going to read the condiment thing over. All right, you're in a cage. You're in a cage.
Okay.
You have to fight for your life to get out of the cage.
All right.
Which animal do you choose to be in the cage with you as you try to get out of the cage and not die?
Okay.
A rattlesnake, a crocodile, a grizzly bear, or a lion?
Oh, God.
Can you say the four one more time?
This is taking a morbid turn. A rattlesnake, a crocodile, a grizzly bear, or a lion?
That's a good question. Honestly... I think I hate snakes the most out of all that, but that might be the one I'd go.
Yeah.
Because I would have to time it up to where I could either get around the other side of the snake or dodge as the snake is striking, grab it by its head, and just rip that thing, just choke it out. crocodile, I'm screwed. I guess I could try to climb to the top of the cage, and then I don't know what I would do after that to try to kill it to get out. Grizzly bear, I mean, that fight would last 3 seconds. I'd be done. And a lion, I don't even know how you attack a lion. Like, what do? Put it in a headlock? I'd have to go rattlesnake.
Well, again, and just to be clear, you're just trying to get out of the cage. Just trying to get out.
Rattlesnake, then.
Is there a key?
Well, you have to get past the animal.
Oh.
Rattlesnake, okay, then.
This is like a Dwight Schrute scenario. You
know? Just jump over the rattlesnake and get out.
Well, that's a lot easier said than done, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's my plan, too. Like, even if, like, you get a bite on the leg, and then you get out and you can...
Go to the doctor?
Right, go to the doctor and get... I mean...
Or the ER?
The other three are going to rip you to shreds, right? So, that was kind of too easy. All right.
Maybe the lion's hungry. Or it's not hungry. It's just
biting
tired.
Off kneecaps.
Just walk right past it.
Sometimes
yeah,
just
maybe
sit.
It's Dan Campbell.
Sometimes...
What lion are we talking about?
The ultimate lion. All right, speaking of Dan Campbell... You get to start an NFL franchise from scratch. So, similar to the other sports question.
Okay.
You have to choose one of the following four quarterbacks in their current form as the first building block. And all salaries are equal here. So, okay. It's you know, there's
just
no,
the player.
Salary considerations are not part of this. Ryan Tannehill, Tom Brady,
okay.
Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott.
Okay. Starting a franchise.
Yep.
I'd go Tannehill. I don't trust Baker yet. And Prescott, I like the injury scares me, and I just don't think he's as good. I think he's better than Baker. But I'd go Tannehill. I would go Brady, no question, if it was 1 year. But starting a franchise, I'm going Tannehill.
I'm going Brady. Just start your franchise with a Super Bowl win.
It could be that.
I mean,
yeah, it doesn't matter what kind of team he's on. He wins the Super Bowl every year.
He's going to make the defense play better.
What does he have? He have 20 rings, right? Does he have 19? Has he ever lost a game?
I don't think so.
Has he ever thrown an incompletion? This is
he did, but it's left-handed.
It's a slam dunk.
Brady,
that's insane, man. come on. I was between Tannehill
you
and Prescott.
You really hate Tom Brady.
I don't hate Tom Brady.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do not. Yes,
who do you hate more, Tom Brady or Michael Jordan?
I don't hate Tom Brady at all. I hate Jordan. I mean, as a fan, I hate Jordan, okay?
I mean, goodness, it took you this year to put Brady ahead of Dan Fouts on your all-time quarterback list.
Have I put him there? I guess I have. I don't hate Brady. But I would not. He would not be my answer here. I mean, like you – He hasn't. Did you see him lose to the Titans in the playoffs 2 years ago? He looked like my uncle.
Who is he throwing to?
Well, I understand that, but you're starting a franchise. So again,
he just won the Super Bowl.
Did you watch that team play?
I did.
Sure.
Okay, he played well.
He played well. Yeah. Yes, he did.
If you want to give him the mystical power over the defense that could not be blocked, then go ahead. You're starting a franchise with 44-year-old Tom Brady.
They weren't a defense that could not be blocked the year prior.
They were, okay. I mean, I don't know. Like the year prior, they also got put in some tough spots by the QB who threw a million picks.
And then had the greatest workout video yesterday.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. I actually am going I'm going Dak here, by the way. Nice. I'm going Dak. It's very close with Dak and Tannehill. But, I mean, I'm thinking starting a franchise, and I do want 3-4 years down the road to, you know, to have a quarterback in their prime. I mean, Brady. I'm going to be feeding him chicken soup by then. You know, but I'm sure he'll be in the front office telling me all the moves to make, you know. Coordinating the defense, coordinating the offense, doing the equipment room.
I mean, Prescott did just break his entire lower body. Is that concerning to you?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
No love for Baker Mayfield in this segment at all.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I should have thrown in someone better, but I like Baker. I think Baker's good.
Yeah. I just wouldn't want to listen to him. He's not my pick.
That's true. He'd kind of be annoying around the building, right?
You wouldn't want to be associated with those progressive commercials?
No.
Those are kind of good.
But, I mean, Brady would walk around the building and just, like, you know, like someone get hurt, he's like, heal him, touch him, roll. I mean, there is some upside to picking Brady here.
Maybe he just gives them all avocado tequila and they all just start feeling better.
I tell you what, if you did win, the Super Bowl party with Brady would be pretty cool.
Exactly.
It'd be short, but it'd be pretty cool.
It'd be cheap and short, yeah.
That does it for this edition of The Choice Is Yours. Well done, Joe Rex Show. That was one of your better ones. That's pretty good.
That doesn't speak well of how I've done it.
I thought that was a really good job by you on that front. Coming up next, we will get into the hot topic right now in the world of sports. That is the Supreme Court case with the NCAA. Some spicy takes out there as to what this could mean for the future of college athletics. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.